Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Keith over here, broadcasting live from DeVille Square, Pensacola Business Radio. And I have in my studio today, Miss Lynn Buchanan. Good morning.
Good morning.
And you're an full-on photography, but you're specifically for some water and some nature and
absolutely
keeping things really cool and good and pure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Especially which is why Lori Murphy's here. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. She's my partner this week, and Lynn's going to have a lot of cool stuff to talk about what she's actually seen, not only in my area, which is the panhandle of Florida, but she's actually seen a lot of things going on throughout the state of Florida. So that's her focus right now.
Awesome. So you are the politician's favorite person right now, aren't you?
Not really.
And then Julia Montgomery from the Small Business Development Center. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So international trade, huh?
Yeah, it's a great thing. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
what I do.
You and I are going to have to talk when we're done, I promise. So, all right, well, let's get right into this. Like, how, why, what?
I've liked water all my life, actually. In high school, I used to test water twice a week, all around
just
Sarasota.
Because, like, you were just bored? It's my hobby, or what?
I don't know. I loved water. And actually, Sarasota, where I'm from, the water quality is actually as good as it was when I was a child, which is amazing. So they're using that as a model.
Yeah.
We've lost a lot of biodiversity, but the seagrasses are coming back and the scallops and things like that. But the rest of Florida, that is not that way.
Right. Okay.
So in 2013, I drove across the country, met waterkeepers, got really interested in what they're doing across the United States. And then I came home and said, I need to look at my own state and see what's happening here. So I contacted Waterkeeper Alliance and met all the waterkeepers around the state. At that time, the Emerald Coast Keeper wasn't working, so I didn't include this section of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I completed a show at the South Florida Museum, which just came down and was up for 4 months. But now I'm going to do a book on water in Florida. So I'm now working with all the water keepers. And I met Lori. I'm so honored to be here in this part.
Yeah, she's representing the panhandle.
It's amazing here. And she's taken me to some beautiful and also some really troubled places.
Yeah. Are we allowed to talk about those, or do we have to wait for the book to come out?
It's all yours.
You see how I set her up? She knows.
Yeah. So the places around here.
Well,
around
let's hear about both, because one, there's more than just the Gulf in Florida, right? And
absolutely,
most people don't realize that, but there's a lot of pretty areas.
A lot of the inland areas are beautiful in Florida. A lot of really unspoiled rivers, but they're getting more spoiled by the day. I kayaked the whole Apalachicola River last fall. It was absolutely beautiful. Really wonderful. I've taken a houseboat down the St. John's and kayaked a lot of tributaries from there. There's amazing places, but then there's really sad places like the Indian River Lagoon, which is now under a state of emergency for the blue gene. That just breaks my heart every time I saw it. About a month ago, I was out there watching manatees just gasp for air, and it's just, I cried.
It's crazy.
I mean, and
they can't get out of there, right? I mean, isn't that one of those that's really hard for them to not be there?
Well, yeah, the manatees, I guess, I don't know how far they travel. I know more about dolphins and that pods often won't move because there's other pods nearby.
Right,
you know. But when they've gotten that sick as a bloom like that comes, I don't know how they could travel that far anyways. And like when all those fish recently died, the oxygen level in the Indian River Lagoon went down to zero. So and then they just die. And it's terrible. So I've met cool people trying to do wonderful things over there. I met somebody trying to harvest the algae before it enters the lagoon off the agricultural canals. And that can really help. They're using it as compost. And the water that came out of that plant had twice the oxygen level, which is really good. But all the stuff coming off of Lake Okeechobee from the south, you can't clean that up like that. I mean, something really has to be done. And on the other side of the coast, the Caloosahatchee River is in terrible shape from that also. Honestly, the worst water I saw was coming out of Lake Okeechobee in the Indian River Lagoon and the Caloosahatchee.
I'm just impressed she can pronounce the names of the rivers and the lakes. I could tell you drive down there, you read the signs, you're like, yeah, that place.
Yeah. Well, I live in Micanopy, so.
Yeah, there you go. So you've had practice then, huh? Very cool.
On Tuscaloosa.
So tell us about the book and some of the photography.
So the photography, I did the show for the South Florida Museum that opened in February and it just came down. It's called Changing Waters, the Human Impact on Florida's Aquatic Systems. And for the exhibit, I work with the waterkeepers. I work with Bob Knight of the Springs Institute, Betty Osceola of the Miccosukee, Jason Evans from Stetson, an environmental science professor. So I worked with all of them, finding out about the issues that are happening in our waterways, in lakes, rivers, and in estuaries. And then I had about 43 photos in that exhibit. And then I did my own catalog for the museum. And in the back of that, I included all the advocates I work with and all the issues they were facing. And so I met Joanna Hurley out of Santa Fe, who saw my book, which I worked on with Elizabeth Avenon on the catalog to learn how to do it. And now she wants to do a full coffee table book with me on water around the state of Florida, and then hopefully move to other regions next. So the Waterkeeper Alliance invited me to their conference this year. And after Florida, they want me to work on North Carolina because they say that's the worst water in the country.
Wow.
I've lived in South Carolina, and I remember it being very nice. But again, it's the Atlantic, and once you live by the Gulf, it's kind of hard. So, so you're doing all of this photography, and so at the same time, you're capturing a lot of beauty. Mm-hmm. You're obviously capturing a lot of the bad, right? So, what's happening with all of this? Like, they're taking your stuff, and they're—I mean, this is proof in the pudding, right?
Well,
is it creating some change for some of these things?
I would hope so, but it's hard in Florida, I think, because a lot of people don't want to focus on the negative issues that we're experiencing. Yeah, and it seems sort of nationwide, people wait till people are dying or something and then they start looking at it.
Yeah, that whole preventative maintenance thing doesn't really make sense.
It's not working out too well, and I don't understand. It really is upsetting. The last time I was in the Indian River Lagoon, it came out in the paper that somebody that was nicked by a mangrove snapper last summer, who's perfectly healthy, died within 2 days of Vibrio. You know, but it takes that or something like Flint, and then people are like, okay, now we need to start doing something. But we need to start doing something about it now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just Flint was
sort of swept under the rug for a lot of the nation.
It was. Yeah. And it shouldn't be. And our water quality is being seriously impacted in Florida. The aquifer is like, the karst layer is so thin. What separates our geology from the aquifer below is so thin, and everything infiltrates in there. So I've seen people doing some great, you know, plans to clean it up. We can clean up a lot of point source pollution, but the runoff issue is huge, and it's everywhere, and it's pervasive, and you can't fix it the same way like that. So we really, you know, the nitrogen and phosphorus are huge problems affecting. Mm-hmm. I know in Pensacola, too, you have a lot of the superfunds that are also very disturbing. And big wastewater plants, and then we have all the power plants, and there's just...
Yeah.
You know, in Miami, the Turkey Point power plant, they want to build two more, and the amount of sea level rise they're allowing for is non-existent, and it's right on the edge of Biscayne Bay. I mean, it's just, it's frightening what is happening, the lack of forward thinking about our environment. And so I'm just trying to do whatever I can. And but at first, I just showed beautiful things, and people thought everything was okay, because there still is a lot of beauty, and I want to share that to give people hope. We need hope. Yeah. And then I showed bad water, or troubled water, I like to call it, instead of bad. And nobody would read my blogs. They would ignore them. So then I finally started mixing the two together to show people, you know, what's happening, but what we have left to save. And I just, it's going to take a whole cultural shift. It's going to take a whole shift in the way we live. You know, I know Jason Evans taught this class on lawns, you know, the whole lawn issue, like why you have a lawn. And when you let your lawn go, what that reflects about you as a human being, like you're considered disorganized or crazy or people pass judgment.
Yeah, don't look at my car. You know what that one tells everybody. Yeah. Yeah. So, so what's next then?
Well, I'm going to keep working on this book. And then I've also written a nonfiction book, which I'm in the process of having edited, about just my waking up to the water issue, the environment, what's going on, and being more of service in my life. So hopefully to share that with other people, and then working on North Carolina and just, you know, keeping on trying to do what I'm doing it.
But like, how does it make you feel? Like, hey, come here. Our water's horrible. Like, oh, great. That's the first place I want to go and hang out, right?
Well, I mean, that's why I do show lots of beautiful waterways. Just yesterday, we went on the Coldwater River, and it's just, it was stunningly beautiful and gorgeous in there. And so there are nice.
And it's cold.
And it's cold.
When it's like 190 outside.
And that's a good thing. And we want to keep that. And being able, you know, when I kayaked the Apalachicola and we camped on the sandbars and we swam every day. And mm-hmm. like, that's what you want to do. Like, that's the kind of relationship and connection you want to have with nature. You yeah. want your kids to have that. So they want to preserve it. And it's a healthy way of living. You feel better. I mean, studies have
fresh air will do it for me. You yeah. know?
Right.
But people, I think, have gotten really disconnected from the environment. They don't know what's happening. They don't see what's happening. So that's why I just
or even understand it, yeah. I think, or understand how much they could really impact it.
Yeah. But every little thing.
Easy. Yeah.
Since things. I started this project, I won't fertilize my lawn. I won't water my lawn if my lawn.
Oh, so you let your lawn go?
I did. I mean, I still mow it. And I mean, really hardcore people won't even mow. Because the fuel in the lawnmower, yeah. but I can't quite go that far because yeah. I'd be buried under my grass. But I don't do that. And I also started using products that you would use on a boat in my house, the things that could mm-hmm. go directly into the water because it all goes right. directly into Absolutely. The water.
And your grass is still green, yard still looks
actually,
good.
Well,
all that
I
good
mean,
stuff.
Yeah, I'm lucky because I live in Micanopy and I have a ton of live oak trees, mm-hmm. so it's not under direct sun.
Yeah.
So I recognize that. You know, for people that need to make a living off of food and other products, you know, it's different than my lawn, which I can let go.
Sure.
So I did work with John Paul. I met on the Caloosahatchee River Watch group, and he's the president there, went to the Peace Corps and has learned underground irrigation for his orange groves.
Wow.
That's
and
pretty
so
cool.
That's mm-hmm. really, and I was very inspired by that. So, you know, there are ways to do it if people have the incentive to do that. Mm-hmm. To do that and some of the algae composting instead of the fertilizers from the departments, mm-hmm. all these things will help. And I connected those two and they're considering underground fertigation. It's like, so, yeah. I mean, I just like want everyone to talk about it to everyone else and work together and find solutions.
Yeah. Well, cool. And this is how it starts. You got to expose it yeah. first and then people can really start discussing it. So,
yeah. Well, thank you very much for having me.
Well, that's the lady right there.
Well,
you get
Laura
to thank.
Murphy
she's
amazing.
Fighting hard.
She is. I'm so in awe of all the water keepers across the country. It's just the job they're doing is amazing, and they're often not thanked, and they're really looking out for our water. So
awesome.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
I think she's got a tear in her eye.
I see it. Man, oh my gosh, I won't be able to walk out of here now. You'll have to be like a hot air balloon.
Hey, Lynn, if people want to see your work and yeah. your stuff, where do we send them?
My website is lynnbuchanan.com. That's LynnBuchanan.com. Or you can find me on Facebook on Lynn Buchanan Photography. I'm on Instagram too at Lynn Buchanan Photo. So just yeah. check back. And
she has a social media platform.
I'm working on it. I'm old. And I'm trying hard.
It's hard, isn't it? Yeah. It's time consuming.
It is.
So, okay, Lori, so what else is, I mean, because it's been, what, 2 months since
yeah,
you were in here last?
Yeah, it's been a couple
so,
months, I think.
And I know in your world, 2 months, a lot happens. So.
A lot can happen, yeah. yes. You know, and I think taking off where Lynn, or taking over where Lynn left off is everything is very superficial to the average consumer, citizen, resident, and that it doesn't matter where you live in the world. We don't really think about anything negative that's going on as far as nature is concerned. Mm-hmm. We hear about Flint. We hear about the Lake Okeechobee and we hear things like that and then we're okay. And then, of course, yesterday, one of the news anchors on Atlanta television decided to disperse false information and scare half of the panhandle of Florida and all the folks coming here for the 4th of July weekend that we had an outbreak of Vibrio vulnificus, which is a flesh-eating disease, when that actually is not the fact. And I kind of want to address that and start off with that, first of all,
sure.
is that Vibrio is, even though that's a flesh-eating disease, that is not something commonly found in the Gulf water.
Right.
That type of bacteria is found more in the brackish areas where the water is warmer, not as much saltwater intrusion. Mm-hmm. It can be in the Gulf in saltwater area, but it historically has not been.
Right.
And the bacteria that is found in the Gulf for the no swim warning, which mm-hmm. is what I call when the beach is closed, because if you can't swim in the beach, what are you going to do in the beach? Mm-hmm. You're going to sit there in the sand and get hot and then yeah. you're going to overheat. You can't go in the water. So I post every week the results of the no swim reports for the entire panhandle. Mm-hmm. And you can receive this as an application on your cell phone or on your mobile, any mobile device or tablet by going to theswimguide.org. Every person who goes to the beach, every person who has children, pets, please download that and get the correct information. And it stems from the Enterococcus bacteria. Enterococcus bacteria is a bacteria that is found very commonly after a lot of rainstorms, stormwater runoff. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of minerals, bacteria, just things that aren't normally found in the Gulf water that can cause it to be dangerous for children to swallow if they're swimming in it or if you have open cuts. It is not the mm-hmm. flesh-eating disease. You can get sick and cause diarrhea, things like that. So yes, we do currently have a no swim. There are probably six in Okaloosa County, six beaches there, and two or three in Walton County currently under that. But if you go back on the swim guide in a couple of days after the rain passes, you'll see that it's probably going to be okay.
Right.
But those are the ones that go in and out. The Bay areas, such as Sanders Beach, Bayou Chico, mm-hmm. Bayou Tahar, some of the more enclosed areas that don't get a lot of currents and fresh water coming in and out of them, they tend to have a little bit more of the no swim
right.
warnings out on a continuous and regular basis. So just keep looking at that. So that's enough of that. I just want to let the public know we're okay. There's no Vibrio right. here. And
the
just
dude
find
in
another
had
beach.
No idea what he was talking about.
No, he didn't know what he was talking about. He was a meteorologist. He's not a you know an oceanographer or biologist. Would you know? So I'm sure that he probably got hammered on that fact. But it's don't worry about it, folks. There's plenty of other beaches in Okaloosa County that are open right mm-hmm. now, and also in Walton County. And check back in a couple of days on the swimguide.org. Okay.
And so Escambia County is not even on that list, so.
Right. Escambia County, you can come here to Pensacola. You can go to Santa Rosa County also. Navarre is fine, Navarre Beach. So there's plenty of beaches. So don't be afraid. And most of them are very close together anyway. So please come and visit Pensacola. Don't cancel your reservations. Please enjoy. Take your family out to the beach. Watch the fireworks. Have a good time. But just stay away from the no swim zones. Exactly.
Yes.
Barbecue and fireworks. Okay.
Yep.
So now that
we got the Blues next weekend. So
yes. And that's exciting also. And that brings me up to the next thing that I want to talk about is what I think Lynn and I are trying to do is we're trying to bring the emotion to the public to really tell them where the government and the state has left off giving them information.
Right.
I can go anywhere in the panhandle of Florida and I can find pollution. We went to a beautiful cold water river yesterday. Mm-hmm. We saw a small side stream and we walked it up quite a ways and mm-hmm. found lots of pollution going on in there. We're not talking just about garbage because that's a huge problem here is trash, people dumping. But we also found some very strong sulfur types of bubbling pollution. We did not have test equipment with us, but I'm going to go back there and take that. And we also found some very high pools of iron deposits pooling in the water just from the constant runoff. A lot of minerals coming out of the soil that surround mm-hmm. these streams and rivers. And as you can see, the erosion due to climate change with the increased storms,
right.
We're widening our rivers and our streams, which is great in one respect.
All this stuff. Yeah.
But we're losing trees. Roots are exposed. Trees are falling in the water. This is all a problem with climate change. And we are actually destroying it that way. Just because it's not an algae bloom or Vibrio or coal ash doesn't mean it's not a problem with pollution because eventually all that sediment is going to clog up those streams and create dead zones. It's going to create fish kills. And then we ruin the entire ecology. And eventually over time, these beautiful waters that we're seeing now are not going to be there for our future generations. And if we all, you know, we all have children. I'm not sure if you do, Julia, but the other three of us, we have children that are going to want to be in those waters in the next 50 years.
Yeah.
Will they be there?
Oh, and if they are, can you even get in them?
Can you get in them? Lynn and I found some beautiful plant life, underwater plant life yesterday, where half of it was thriving and beautiful and bright and red and gorgeous. And it has these little tentacles on them where that's where they get all their minerals and stay alive. Mm-hmm. The other half in the back on the cut bank were full of just sediment and they were choking out.
Yeah.
So that just, those are signs that you don't see because you're in the canoe or you're in a kayak or you're swimming and you don't notice that.
You're chasing your cooler of beer.
Yeah. You're chasing your cooler of beer. And these are all things that we see. And I think one of the serious things also that Lynn and I saw yesterday is as we were taking photographs of the Crist plant in Pensacola where we have active coal ash leaching there in the Escambia River where there are high levels of mercury and other dangerous heavy metals leaching from that coal ash pit in the middle of the Escambia River, which I told you about those islands. It's on an island right there. There are children there with their rods and reels that were fishing in that water because they didn't know that they shouldn't stay. They shouldn't fish there. They're fishing there.
Well, they don't
and they're
the
getting
blows,
their fish and they're
the
eating
action.
It.
Yeah.
So what is that going to happen 10, 20, 30 years down the road with, you know, what is that going to morph into?
Yeah. I've seen that as an issue all over the state, people fishing in really polluted, dangerous water. And it's usually poor people and it's sustenance living and they don't have a choice. They don't have the money to put the gas in their boats and go way offshore to fish.
Yeah.
Right. The deep sea fishing is could be $125, $150 a person to go out there and they don't. And we were at a Superfund site the day previously and there was a gentleman out there and I finally asked him, please, you know, do you fish here often? He says, yes, ma'am. And I says, have you found anything yet? And he says, well, yes, I just caught a freshwater catfish. I says, what did you do with it? He says, I threw it back because it's a freshwater catfish. Yet we were in, we were not in freshwater. But I says, well, I just wanted to let you know that you are on an active Superfund site and it's probably not really safe for you to be fishing and eating the fish here. And I, you know, at least gave him the option.
Sure.
You know, it's his life, his business. But he looked at me like he had seen a ghost.
Right.
And that brings up the environmental injustices that we have also here because Superfund sites and poor water areas go hand in hand in poor people who don't have access to the things that we have. And you'll find all of this stuff inundating these underserved communities, which is why we have, are now building and designing, which I'm really excited about. We have a new STEM education program that we're going to be starting next summer. Emerald Coast People is going to go out and work with these 3,114 underserved students who are currently failing the FCAT tests that are in F schools and are not getting that, you know, extra education and extra tutoring that they need in the science and mathematics education, helping them also be able to, speak publicly and learn how to have a voice, how to handle environmental issues in their community and how to stand up for them and what their rights are and how they can go to different community groups and committees and things like that. And getting them live on a future podcast of mine with you to help these children build their self-esteem and learn that, hey, we can all stick together as a community and that everybody has the same right, regardless of where you live. So we're really working on a lot of environmental justice campaigns actively here in the community through coal ash plants, Superfund sites, and through STEM education to help eventually increase and improve the economy here locally in Escambia County.
Yeah, I bet the kids are excited.
They will be. They don't know what's
coming
yet.
They don't know. Oh, it's still a surprise,
we're in the
huh?
developing phase, and we have an educational coordinator right now, and we're putting these programs together. I've been filing grants to help out, so if any of you folks are interested in helping to donate for this cause, we're putting together a mobile classroom where we're going to come to them. We're going to bring the students to real live environmental sites and we're going to teach them, you know, the scientific method. We're going to teach them critical thinking skills. These are things that they don't learn in school and we're going to make them feel happy and excited about math and science.
Which is just like, I don't know, my daughters who are going through school now, are they have gotten some stuff like this that has actually really engage them on the level of beyond just the classroom makes a world of difference, an absolute world of difference. I mean, whether they're doing biology on the beach or they're just getting that little bit of extra attention in the outside world, I've absolutely loved it.
It makes a huge difference because, you know, when you're doing something locally, they feel like they can give back to their community. And as they move up through the grades, all the way through high school, we'll have different types of academies where they're more actively involved and the material will be a little bit more challenging, but it won't be too challenging.
Right.
They're not going to be thrown into what's happening now is a lot of these children are thrown into going to PSC or UWF, and they don't have a lot of basic foundations because they're just making it into the college mm-hmm. with the minimum scores because they didn't get a lot of hands-on to make them excited and feel that passion about, wow, this math is not hard after all. It doesn't have to be this difficult. Science is just math application. So mm-hmm. if you get them unafraid of the math portion and get them excited about that, then they can get out in the community and actually help and develop different types of coalitions and help themselves and improve their own communities. And maybe eventually they can get into the internships through University of West Florida and go on to have a great STEM career and keep that economy in our own community.
Yeah.
Plus the science is tying back that to the environment. That's so important, I think, for the future of everything, because I don't think our government is really taking care of the environment or our rights. And we really need tons of volunteers out there sampling water, looking to see what's happening, pushing for right legislation going forward.
Yeah,
correct. Because right now the laws, a lot of these folks aren't breaking the law.
Yeah.
Even though there's pollution because the
laws are
very lax, and they get lax every year, and we have to fight them every year. So right now we're trying to come up with some ideas to write some bills to help change the laws for the DEP and EPA to try to tighten them back up, because all the business owners are like, woo woo, you know, this is mm-hmm. great. We're going to have, you know, the DEP is just going to lax some more rules, and now we can pollute more. We don't have to worry about the cleanup. We're going to save more money. Who cares about the GQ public, you know, mm-hmm. as long as we're following the guidelines, we're not going to get in any trouble.
Right. So if somebody wants to jump on board and volunteer and give you a hand, because I know you kind of fly solo most of the time.
Yes.
Where are we going to send them to?
We're going to send them to www.emeraldcoastkeeper.org. You can sign up to volunteer. You can become an active member. You can call me. My email addresses are on there. There's lots of things that you can do. Also, you can find out the latest news on what's going on and some of our cleanups that we're going to have over the summer. We're trying to coordinate one right now after the Blues. We're still hoping everything is going through with that. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's get involved. Be a part of your community. Be a part of the change in making it better and improving it, and not allowing our government to set these laws and regulations and letting the business owners control all of that. We need to take back our community.
Yeah, very cool. Well, thanks for coming and hanging out.
Thanks, Keith.
And I'm going to go, and I'm scrolling through some of your photography here as we were talking. So I'm going to share some of it when we repost on our site. So.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, Julia, you're up.
Yes. And, you know, I'm going to pivot a little bit to talk about small business and international trade, but it's all very relevant. It comes full circle. Part of international trade these days is specifically trying to get, you know, the dollar, trying to make a buck. But we do see, or we are seeing more and more, the social responsibility and the environmental responsibility come up and be much more of an issue. But there still needs to be more done. And it is something that it's very, I'm very interested in learning more about what you guys do and how you're working to keep our water safe and potable and beautiful.
She's out there every day with swords and shields.
Yes, absolutely. And it's all related.
So. And a camera.
And a camera. Absolutely. But kind of going back to the basics here with international trade, I'm the international trade specialist for the Small Business Development Center.
Which is cool, because I didn't even know that you guys facilitated the any international side of business.
Yes, it's relatively new.
Yeah.
I think we've only been doing it for 5 or 6 years.
Well,
an actual formal.
That's long enough, I should have known, right?
Well, I'm the first trade specialist for this region.
Okay.
So we're still building. Trying to generate interest, trying to let people know that we have resources and tools and researchers and all kinds of things that are available to them, either through federal funding, state funding, universities, things like that. Basically, I help small businesses develop strategies for kind of finding the lowest hanging fruit, the easiest country to enter for their market, for their product, for their size. And basically using that as a long-term growth strategy. It seems like a big pill to swallow. International trade can be kind of intimidating. It's kind of it's a word that gets thrown around a lot, and there's many applications. Particularly, there's more specifically exporting, where we export products, and importing, where we bring them in from other countries. But with the assistance that we have available through the SBDC, Enterprise Florida, the Commercial Service, there are lots of people that can help small, medium-sized businesses on their way to achieving that strategy and inevitably reaching more consumers.
So let's relate this real quick to Pensacola. Do you see a lot of international stuff going on here?
I see a lot of potential. There are many people, many businesses, many manufacturing facilities that I think could absolutely grow their profiles if they took that step.
Yeah.
It's something that I'm hoping to help generate. Like I said, I have colleagues in Enterprise Florida and the Commercial Service that are very, very focused on this, mm-hmm. and kind of bringing this service to kind of a smaller area. You know, Pensacola is not like Tampa. It's not like Miami. It's a little bit more sleepy. It's a little more kind of a southern town, city.
And we're okay with that.
Yeah, and I like it. Yes,
we don't want Tampa.
Absolutely, yes, and it definitely has, you know, these intriguing aspects to it. I think it's definitely possible. It's definitely doable.
And we have the infrastructure for it. I do know that.
We have a port. We have an airport. We have great highways, roadways for
land transportation. Get in and out.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just really, it's getting the word out. And that's why I'm here today, is to help do that.
Yeah. So what are you guys seeing, as from the small business development side, are you seeing some that are more ease of entry here in Pensacola as far as, you know, products, certain businesses, certain commodities?
Yes, absolutely. Definitely products related to military.
Sure.
We have a lot of military personnel in this area, people that have worked in defense, people that have worked in logistics. We see a lot of medical tourism, medical mm-hmm. services, medical products, aerospace, a lot of kind of highly technical, skilled mm-hmm. Industries that are here. And honestly, we're seeing a lot more export of services. And a lot of people don't understand that if you provide a service in this area, that's something that you can export. It's not necessarily a physical, tangible product. But if you do something that only 100 people in the world can do, that's absolutely something that you can export. That's something that you can provide to the global economy.
And so that's what, when I'd ask you about some of the digital stuff, that falls right in that category.
Absolutely, absolutely. We see a lot more, particularly with apps, applications.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Software, of course.
Yeah, the tech here is huge.
Yes, absolutely.
Huh. I guess I think because it was digital, I didn't even think about sort of the
process is a little different.
Yeah.
There are IP issues.
Sure.
There are certain countries that you might want to steer clear of it first, mm-hmm. just because the regulation is not quite as rock solid, and you might have a more difficult time kind of keeping your thumb on your property. But absolutely.
Yeah.
We've seen an explosion in that.
So do you guys have capabilities of obviously of telling us all of that stuff, but I think that's one of the biggest fears. I know speaking to other business people is, one, I can't speak the language, mm-hmm. right? And two, I can't even begin to read our laws, let alone theirs. Right.
Right.
So you guys have the ability to just peruse through that kind of stuff, huh?
It's a process. We were discussing business strategies earlier, and there's never a Band-Aid approach. What I do and what I like to tell people that I do is I take you one step at a time. We start with a good domestic product or service. We do the research to kind of identify what markets might be a good goal for you. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about market entry strategies. We go from there. We look for leads. We look in trade shows. We look in industry associations, mm-hmm. things like that. We can get you involved with the Commercial Service through via Gold Key programs, which is where they basically find partners for you to go sit and chat with in the country of your choosing via trade mission, which is what I went to when I went to Mexico. I got to sit in on a couple of those, and they were really
So how was that?
It was fantastic. Wonderful.
It's a different world when you're actually part of the process.
It is. And it's also in your face. You know, you can read about culture and you can experience it via the internet and movies, but until you're there, until you're, you know, in the Mexico City bumper to bumper traffic until you're looking at the buildings and seeing the difference in architecture and the various, you know, climatic differences, things like, oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Street tacos.
Yes. Street tacos and mezcal.
The food is awesome. Awesome.
Yes,
there.
It is. It's fantastic.
So how did you get, so let's talk about that. I mean, how did that come about? And then you hang out down there for a week? Are you
it was a very fast paced program.
Of course it was.
Program.
It was business, right?
It was 3 days and it was just jam packed with information. I haven't heard a negative review yet. Everyone seemed to really get a lot out of it. Mm-hmm. Once that plane hit the ground, we were off to the airport for briefings on the industries of choice or industries of the business people there. We were meeting with government officials, commercial service officials, industry specialists, things like that. The second day we did Gold Keys. Mm-hmm. We had several Small Business Development Center clients go on this mission in particular. You're probably somewhat aware, of course, we have NAFTA, the trade agreement between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. So Mexico is very often on the top of our list for businesses that we, you know, are doing international trade services with. So there were very many clients that we have seen and kind of helped grow and kind of helped them on their way to achieving this international strategy that were there. And it was just wonderful to kind of see them really get it and really meet the partners that they may be working with, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, and kind of seeing those relationships develop. Because that's what we do. That's what we're trying for.
So did you find the economy down there to be thriving and everybody really wanting to just expand,
yes.
huh?
Yes. And it is a large, busy, bustling city, but there is absolutely room for exporting. There's room for investment. Several industries that absolutely I can see innovation coming from Florida, doing, you know, a lot of really good things there. Again, coming in with the social responsibility, we like to keep that in mind. But absolutely, it was by all accounts, it was absolutely a fruitful mission.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. So what's next for you?
I'm here at the SBDC. I'm trying to generate more interest in international trade. I'm trying to let people know that it's not this pie in the sky strategy. It's something that you're basically taking. If you have a product or service that is working well here, it has good track record, people like it, It could probably do the same elsewhere. You're not having to reinvent the wheel. You're basically just turning, you're pivoting just a bit and trying a different market.
Yeah.
And we can help you identify those. And we can really help you kind of set a roadmap to get there, which is, that's why I'm out here, you know, letting everyone know what we do.
Yeah. So, well, let's talk about that real quick. Isn't it? Let's walk us through coming on board with the Small Business Development Center. And I'm going to go ahead and say it for you. They don't open or create a business for you. You actually have to have the idea and some form of plan in mind before going through the door.
Absolutely.
There's a huge misconception there, I think.
Yes, yes. It's an undertaking, whether you desire to be a small business owner and work in the same accounting firm from now until your retirement, or whether you're an entrepreneur and you want to build a business and sell it. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of investment of time and money. You will pound the pavement. You will go out. You will kind of come out of your comfort zone. But we work with you. We provide the resources. We work with businesses daily. So we're very well versed on the things that you need, the things that you need to look out for. If we don't know something, we have databases and access to
a university.
The university and lots of other great things that we can help you, learn more about these things that you want to tackle. All you have to do is go to our website, which is sbdc.uwf.edu, and register for consulting. It's a very short little packet. You'll just fill out some basic information. It's confidential. Once you sign with us, we're not going to go tell anyone your personal business, your business. We're basically just here. We're already paid via tax dollars. You know, we're here working for the small and medium-sized businesses here, and we're here to help you grow. We're here to help you succeed in your pre-venture and startup enterprises. And it benefits the entire community as a whole for us to be assisting you with that.
And I can speak from experience. You're a huge resource that most people don't even realize how large.
Yes.
And how much you can actually help a small business.
Absolutely.
Just by reaching out.
And we do. We call on each other. You know, we have a network around the state. There are several other international trade specialists that are part of my team. And if I don't know something, I go to them, you know, because most of the time they've experienced something similar because we work with so many businesses, various different types of businesses. And it's a great organization. And we love doing what we do. We're very passionate. And I thank you for the endorsement.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I really have. And again, it's one of those things that until you get into it and you actually ask the question or you know who to ask the question to.
Exactly.
The things that I found out were like, oh my God, this has been here the whole time.
Right.
And a lot of it's, and a lot of it's free.
Right.
You know, I mean, I know you teach classes, but that sometimes you have to cover costs, but not like 90% of it's
absolutely.
Free.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And for a small business owner.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Right.
Like we like free.
and wonderful. I'm glad you feel that way. And we absolutely feel that way. You know, we're already paid for it. You know, come in and see us.
Yeah.
Take advantage of it, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very cool. Well, did we miss anything? No?
Oh, no. We have.
Where are y'all off to after this?
We're off to Fort Pickens.
Cool.
I'm going to take her over there to.
Like for good, right? Like there's good. Good in Fort Pickens.
But that's what we're over there for. We've seen enough.
Because I'm going camping there later. That's why I want to make sure.
Well, we're hoping it depends on the weather. We didn't realize it was going to be so off and on. But, you know, the beach is always much better.
Right.
Hopefully the road will be above water.
Yeah, I was telling her about how the road keeps washing out.
You should be okay. They bulldozed it not too long ago. Yeah. That should last through at least three more rains.
Yeah, we won't get evacuated because it's raining too hard and we're trapped in there. So we're going there and then we're going to spend some time at the golf and the crisp plant and back to super fun sites. Right. And then she leaves Saturday. And
all right. Well, thanks for coming to hang out with
thank
us.
Thank you very much for having us. It's just such an important issue.
It is.
Everybody's. I wish we had people like you for artists.
Yes, of course.
Or nonprofits.
Yes,
right,
yes.
Right. No,
but I have to admit my husband has a small business and has used the SBD agency. So it has been, and it's a very impressive program. So please use it. And say, you know, do what Julia says, because we've seen it firsthand. Yes. I have seen it firsthand on how it can help your business. But you do have to have your own business first. They don't develop your business for you. They help you develop it further.
Right. If you have a concept, we can help you on your way to developing that to a plan.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
I know the people walk, they're like, I thought you guys wrote my business plan. It's like, no, that's not how this works.
Right. Well, you've got to have the motivation, and you've got to have the skill set, you know, for what you're going to go into. If you've never baked a cake in your life, you're not going to open a bakery, you know. And that's a learning process.
Some people might think otherwise.
Yeah.
Maybe why restaurant failure is so
high.
I think I did forget to mention one thing, because we talked a lot about pollution.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
But it's our siphoning water out of the aquifers, too, and taking all the fresh water out of the rivers. That's a huge problem. Like thinking back to the Apalachicola River with the water wars between Georgia and Alabama and their estuary dying because their oysters and all of that. So that goes on throughout. And
I know, which stinks, man, because if I can't have oysters, I get very frustrated. And Apalachicola has the best oysters. So
they
literally are out of the water 2 minutes before you eat them.
No, so that's a big problem. And on the St. John's siphoning water for farmlands and all of that, it leads to a lot of problems. So, you know, we need to look at that.
Sinkholes is a huge problem. And, you know, basically what it boils down to, is this a new baseline? Is this a new normal?
Yeah.
You know, are we just accepting it as it goes on and ignoring it? Or are we going to say, hey, you know, it needs to go back to the way it was and let's take it back?
There you go. Yep. Well, I want to thank all of you for coming in this rainy morning.
This was fun.
Well, good. Guys, you can find us at PCola Radio X on Twitter. You can find us at PCola BRX on Facebook, or you can find us at our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com. Again, ladies, thank you for coming in this morning. This has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters.